The show is live and local. It's your connection to local performances. And we'll be talking about three different performances on our program today. The Vermilion Festival Chorus has a concert coming up. They are based in Danville. Also based in Danville, as the name suggests, Danville Light Opera are putting on the musical Gypsy. And the Baroque Artists of Champaign-Urbana giving a concert, surprise, surprise, in Champaign, which is their annual Young Artists Award winners showcase concert that also has some chamber music by a composer who is not familiar to most, but certainly of great interest to one of the soloists especially. The Baroque Artists will, we will feature two of the award winners playing for us live in the studio coming up later on the show. And of course, we hope that our conversation and the music will be accompanied by your telephone calls or pledge clicks as we enter the weekend of our spring pledge drive here on Illinois Public Media. The number you can call to make your contribution towards supporting all of our programs here, and in particular Live and Local, is area 217-244-0025, or the web address where you can contribute online is willpledge.org. That was what some have called the greatest Broadway overture ever written. Belongs to the musical Gypsy. And that came off of the original cast recording that featured Tyne Daly in the role of Mama Rose. And, of course, the wonderful Broadway theater orchestra assembled on that occasion. And I played that music here on Live and Local because Gypsy is being presented by the Danville Light Opera for performances next weekend. There's going to be Saturday at 7:30 and Sunday at 2 in the afternoon. So just two performance opportunities at the Dick Van Dyke Auditorium at Danville High School. And the director of the show is David Woodrow. And I understand from David, we were chatting a little bit earlier, that you're actually going to choreograph the overture.
Yeah, the overture is choreographed. We're presenting the show kind of as a flashback this time. The show starts in the last scene of the show, and then they will flash back when the overture begins. And the show starts with a completely bare stage. You see the fly system, everything's bare, no curtains or anything. And throughout the overture, we build the entire set on stage until we finally close the curtain and the show begins. So we're treating the whole show as a flashback. When I did my research for the show, one of the lines that really spoke to me was Rose mentions that she's just part of scrapbooks full of me in the background. And I wanted to present, you know, kind of a picture of her being in the background throughout her career, the girl's career.
So doing research for the show, that sort of implies you've not been involved in this particular show before.
Well, this is my second time around with the show. I directed the show about 12 years ago. And this is my second time around. The first time I did it on a stage that was about 20 by 30. So it was a really intimate venue.
That's a postage stamp.
Yeah. So this time, you know, on the big stage, which is this show is meant to be played on the big stage. So it's really been an awesome experience to do that. But yeah, this is my second time around. I fell in love with the show many, many, many years ago. So.
And have you ever been in it yourself?
I played Uncle Jocko the first time I directed it.
I'm trying to remember who was
Uncle Jocko. Uncle Jocko's kitty show. He is in the very first scene of the show where Rose makes her big entrance and says, sing out Louise. And he's the guy who runs the kitty show at the beginning.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Uncle Jocko's Flying Circus or something like that.
Exactly.
It's not quite called that. And although the show is called Gypsy, so, you know, it's based on memoirs of Gypsy Rose Lee, the star is really
Rose.
Her mother.
Yeah, her mother, Rose. She is definitely the show. She's a central character of the show. And a lot of scholars believe that maybe the show should have been called Rose. But I think Rose would have liked it this way, ultimately. She was a tough woman, but she loved her babies.
Well, and besides, there's something about the appeal of calling it, you know, if you want to get people in the door, you give it the name of somebody who was a stripper,
there
right?
There you go.
And that'll get
That's
people
right.
in. Yeah.
That's right.
Because there's some of that that goes on.
There is some stripping, yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. How much do you do with
well,
that?
Well, not as much as I would like, but we have it's very tastefully done. And we have a wonderful actress playing Gypsy, and she's handled it well, and she's doing a great job with it.
Well, so. And Gypsy Rose Lee, the actual person, was relatively tasteful.
Relatively,
about that.
So yes.
Very elegant.
Yes.
Relatively,
yes.
is the term. Yeah. The songs that are probably most famous from the show, Everything's Coming Up Roses, and, that's the really big one.
That's the big one, yeah. Let Me Entertain You. That's another song that the audience members are going to know. One of the favorite songs in the show is Gotta Get a Gimmick. The three burlesque ladies from the burlesque house in Wichita. A great number. It's a riot. Always an audience pleaser. Can sometimes steal the show. So it's a great number.
Since you've mentioned it, I'm trying. I've had a different one I was going to queue up here. But why don't we give a listen to at least a little bit of that one? Because I do remember that's. The idea is having a gimmick.
Yeah,
if you're going to be a stripper, you got to
have a gimmick. And the three ladies in the burlesque house try to teach Gypsy exactly, you know, what stripping's all about. Because at first she's not too keen on the idea.
Well, she's a pretty tame child.
Yes, for sure. For sure.
So she breaks out of her personality somehow or another. This is for the Danville Light Opera production of Gypsy. You're calling it a season of Sondheim. Was Sondheim involved in this show?
He was actually the lyricist. This is one of his
really?
Earliest works. He started out really with West Side Story and this one, where he just wrote the lyrics. And personally, I think he's probably the greatest lyricist of our lifetime as far as musical theater goes. I think he's a better lyricist than he is composer. He goes for that perfect rhyme. And he writes ingenious stuff, and I think that Gypsy is a great example of that. So I'm so glad that they chose to really highlight his work as a lyricist in the final show of this season.
You can pull all the stops out till they call the cops out. Grind your behind till you're banned. But I do it with finesse.
That's a little bit of the idea of the song called You Gotta Get a Gimmick, although to get the rest of the idea, you actually have to see the show because so many visual things are going on along with the song and the bump and grind, like that little bass drum thwack there, and so on. That's from the musical Gypsy, more recent Broadway cast, they call it the original cast recording that featured Tyne Daly in the role of Mama Rose, and Danville Light Opera will be putting that on. We'll be coming back to David Woodrow, who's director for that production, in a little bit. The show is next Saturday, the 28th at 7:30, and Sunday, the 29th at 2 o'clock at the Danville High School Auditorium. That's part of their season of Sondheim, conclusion of the season of Sondheim. And I guess I should have remembered that Sondheim wrote those lyrics since I was music director for that show once, but I forgot. You have the opportunity to support this show, live and local, and all of the organizations in our listening area, like Danville Light Opera, like the Vermilion Festival Chorus, like the Baroque Artists of Champaign-Urbana, all of whom are going to be featured on today's program, and support our ability to support those organizations by bringing them to you. By making your phone call now during this our spring pledge period, the phone number is 217-244-0025, or you can pledge online at willpledge.org. And I'm in the studio today with Mike Thomas, who is actually the art director here at WILL, and occasionally gets to talk to you, our listeners, in this way as well. Thanks for joining us, Mike.
It's great to be here. Occasionally, I do make my way up from the first floor to the second floor to
be with you. We let you out of your cage.
That's right. And I enjoy being up here, and it's amazing to see what's the flurry of activity that happens when I watch what you and Vic and Roger do, and especially what you're doing now. You're going to split your program between the studio here and then go into a performance studio as you interview these gentlemen here and as you talk to the musicians. There's a lot of energy that goes on during your program, and what helps us be energized is when people show their support of us by making their pledge of support. And, you know, we consider this to be a community organization. You know, we're partnering with our community, especially with your program, as you're trying to show what's going on in our community performance-wise. And so we, as I said, we consider ourselves a partner with our community, and we hope that our community will show their support through their financial gifts.
The phone number to call is 217-244-0025, or with a credit card. Well, you can certainly use a credit card at the phone number. You need to use a credit card at the website, which is willpledge.org, or you can become what we call a sustaining member or a sustaining friend, which you can also do at the website, or by making the phone call. And that just means that there are various ways in which you use some sort of payroll deduction or electronic funds transfer. So that means that you don't really have to think about this once you've set it up. I know I do it that way through the University of Illinois. It's a payroll deduction and a certain amount of taken out every month. And that means that you don't have to think about it. We have the benefit of having the money monthly. And it really works to everybody's advantage. And if at some point you want to stop, you just say stop. And if you don't want to ever think about it again, then it never stops.
It's a really helpful advantage. You don't. It's one of those, if you have a to-do list, you don't have to check that off monthly. It's because it's just automatic once you set it up. And there are forms when you go to willpledge.org that there's a PDF form for each of those, whether it's a payroll deduction through the U of I or if you want to do electronic funds transfer. You can fill out those forms and follow the directions and send them in. And then you don't have to worry about it anymore. And you can do it for as little as $5 a month.
The important thing, of course, is to do it.
Exactly.
And because we've got, you know, we have a couple of goals we're working towards here at the moment. 1,100 friends we would like to engage through this particular drive, through Tuesday. But also for the month of April, our goal is to raise $250,000 in listener support, and this pledge drive is part of that. So those goals are very important as we get closer to the end of our fiscal year, which is June 30th, because by then is when we need to have all the money in the bank to support next year's programs. What we don't have, we can't support. And so the more we have, the more we can support. It goes both ways. Important thing is, make your contribution now at 217-244-0025 or online at willpledge.org. This first part of our program today, we have two guests, both of whom involved with groups in Danville. We've mentioned Danville Light Opera and their production of Gypsy. We'll be hearing more from that in a few minutes. But also am very pleased to welcome a fellow who I believe I remember is a founding member of the Vermilion Festival Chorus in Danville.
Pretty close. I joined the chorus about 2 years after it was originated, which was back in about 1987.
And that's Gene Schrader, whose son was also involved in the founding of it.
And he is the director of the chorus at the present time.
Right. Now, has he been director before, David?
David has been directing for about 15 years or so.
In the current stint?
Yes.
When he was involved in the first place,
was he
involved as a director? He was a accompanist.
Uh-huh.
With Rick Zielinski, who was the director.
Rick Zielinski, yeah. He and Rick Zielinski originated the chorus back in 1987, and they did it as a community group and presented the Messiah at St. James Methodist Church. And from that time, it just took off, and the chorus has been in existence ever since, doing about two concerts a season.
I remember being at a couple of those concerts when A friend of mine from years ago, Keith Peterson, was your director for a while at St. James.
Keith directed for a while he was a student over here at the U of I.
Do you still perform concerts at that same church? I know you're not doing the coming concert at that church. But
no, we're performing at Holy Family Church, 444 East Main, and have been now for several years.
That's Holy Family Catholic Church?
Yes.
And the concert we're talking about is this coming Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock.
It's coming Sunday. It's called To Hope, a Celebration. It'll be at 3 o'clock Sunday afternoon at Holy Family. And we are happy to have as guests on this concert Doc Ashton and the Root Canals, which is a jazz group.
This piece
was originated, it was written and composed by Dave Brubeck. If you know who Dave Brubeck is, he's a jazz pianist out on the East Coast. And he wrote the concert back in 1979. And we got a hold of it and decided to try it. And we talked to Doc Ashton, who is a local dentist in Danville. And he has this jazz group called the Root Canals. And they are going to do the jazz overtone part on the concert.
So this is the piece. I mean, you're calling the concert To Hope, a Celebration, but that's also the name of the entire Brubeck piece, which is going to take up the whole concert. So it's a big piece.
It's about 14 sections. And now the jazz group plays on about four or five of those sections at the very end. They will pick it up and play, and after a couple, 2 or 3 minutes, they will lead the chorus back in to finish out that particular session.
And the chorus, there are soloists involved here?
Yes, there are three soloists. The soloists would be two cantors. There's a male and a female soloist, and one soloist is the priest, and they're all members of our chorus.
So this is kind of it's a semi-religious piece.
It's a mass that was written by Brubeck.
Oh, so this takes, which is all the more reason to have it in a Catholic church, I guess.
Yes.
Which maybe even why they let you have it there. I don't know.
Well, they were when Dave, our director, talked with the pastor, the priest there at Holy Family, told him what it was all about. And he said, oh, we'd just love to have that performed here. So that's what we're going to do.
Well, here's a sample from it. This is a performance in which Dave Brubeck himself is involved.
Right.
As the pianist and some other pretty well-known folks as well. It's called To Hope, a Celebration. I'm not sure which portion we're catching here, but I think you'll get a feel of both the involvement of the instrumentalists and the involvement of the chorus, and at least part of the feel of the piece. This is one aspect of it. Other segments sound more subdued is the term I was going to use, but I don't know if that's a very, very good term. But this is a piece that will be put on by the Vermilion Festival Chorus this coming Sunday afternoon in Danville. You're listening to Live and Local on FM 90.9. Give us a call and pledge of support of this program, 217-244-0025. That's a sample of the piece by Dave Brubeck, the jazz legend, the legendary pianist and composer and band leader, is called To Hope, a Celebration, and that complete work, which is a concert-length work, will be put on by the Vermilion Festival Chorus, along with Jill. How does she say her name, Jean?
Jill Prassy.
Prassy.
Prassy is our pianist, accompanist.
And Jonathan Myers on the organ.
Jonathan Myers will be accompanying on organ, huh?
Plus, of course, Doc Ashton and the Root Canals Jazz Ensemble.
That's correct.
Yeah, well, that's another example of if you're in a particular profession, you might as well make your jazz group have to do with whatever that profession may be. So in your time, Gene Trader has been with the group almost since the beginning, and his son is the current director of the group and one of the founders. In your time with Vermilion Festival Chorus, what have been some of the highlights for you, musically speaking, that you recall?
Well, our numbers in the chorus will range from usually about 30 up to 50 or 60 individuals. And we have people from high school age clear up through senior citizens. And we have a number of senior citizens that have been with the chorus as long as I have. And they really just, people love to sing. And there's no, you know, we don't have any auditions, and we enjoy having people come and join us to sing.
So your highlight is the chorus itself.
That's right.
Being in the chorus and getting the chance to sing so many different
that's
kinds
correct.
Of pieces. Well, I'm glad you were able to take the time to come over here. And also, thanks for letting me know about the group, because I haven't heard that much about it over the years, even though, as you said, it's been going on pretty steadily. So it sounds like a wonderful concert and a great concept as well to be doing this particular piece and to be doing it in the location where you are. Holy Family Catholic Church in Main Street in Danville, Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock. How does one go about getting tickets?
Tickets will be available at the door. They are $10 for adults, $8 for seniors and students through high school age.
And you have a website, I believe.
I don't have it right off the top of my head.
Okay, yeah, I don't, and I didn't print anything off it, so I don't have the address here. But Vermilion Festival Chorus can be found the usual way via Google or whatever your favorite search engine may be. Gene Trader, longtime member of the chorus, thanks for coming in.
You bet.
And I want to go back to Mike Thomas, who is helping me today, frankly, ask you for money, folks, because it's our spring pledge period, and no point putting too fine a point on it. That's what we do during the pledge drives, is make sure that we can sustain the service that we provide for you a few times a year. We do it through various means, through the mail and other ways, but the on-air pledge drive is our chance to, for me to come to you directly and say that it matters to us that we hear from you. As Mike actually said quite honestly earlier, we get a lift out of knowing that there are people who are supporting the program, and it's the best way for us to hear about it is know that the phones are ringing, know that the pledges are coming through, and the phone number for you to make your contribution to support WYLL today is 217-244-0025, or the web address is willpledge.org.
Yes, Kevin, we need to make some progress toward our goal. We also, as well as trying to get 1,100 calls or pledges this coming drive, we also want to hear from 100 new folks this time. And I'm trying to think this is still somewhat of a new program, the Live and Local program.
Yeah, just a little over 3 years.
Okay, so we're hoping that people are engaged by that, and that's what I've been finding is I really enjoy how you interview, and I've heard about a lot of performances that I wouldn't have been on my radar at all, other than the fact that now we have this way to let people know about it. And so I think this is really important to support for the community. And I just would hope that people would get to their phones or get to the web right now and make a pledge of support. We, you know, and it can be at any level. $40 is a basic membership. They'll receive Patterns Magazine for that. That's very near and dear to my heart because I design it every month along with Laura Adams, our other designer. And, you know, there's a lot of information that people will receive in that publication that maybe they wouldn't get elsewhere. Just kind of like what you're providing each and every day.
But, of course, that's information to say what's happening on our stations, on this music station, on our companion stations, AM 580 and WYLL TV. This drive, of course, is about supporting radio, specifically both the AM and the FM station. And, of course, during this hour, supporting Live and Local. And it's important that we hear from you, folks who are in leadership positions at the station. They want to know which programs are being supported by our listeners. That makes a difference to them, too, as they determine how to allocate the resources that we have, relatively limited resources, but they become less limited the more you contribute. 217-244-0025 or willpledge.org. Our broadcast today is supported not only by our listeners, but also by Preservation Emporium, with a free public event on April 21st from 1 to 4 at the U of I's Spurlock Museum, with preservation advice on family heirlooms from antique quilts to digital photographs, the keynote address of Mortar and Mortality by cemetery preservation scholar Holly Labisky, is from 2 to 3. We also have support from the Sousa Archives and Center for American Music, breathing life into the history of our nation's musical past through exhibits, guided tours, and performances at the University of Illinois. More information is available, and visits can be scheduled at 217-244-9309. Coming up, we have a couple of live performances by young people who won the Young Baroque Artists Competition for the Baroque Artists of Champaign-Urbana. They're giving that showcase concert Sunday afternoon. That's coming up shortly. Wanted to go back just for a moment here to David Woodrow, who's directing Danville Light Opera's production of the musical Gypsy next weekend, not this coming weekend, but the following. Wanted to give you a chance, David, to talk a little bit about your stars in your production.
Great. I have a wonderful, wonderful cast. Led by Jennifer Woodrow, who's actually my wife. She's played the role before. She teaches music in Danville, Illinois at Northridge Middle School. And she's playing Rose again, doing a fantastic job. Also, the Danville High School new choral director, Cassie Krause, is playing her daughter, Dainty June, in the production. So I have some great musicians on stage. Our Herbie is being played by James Mitchell. He's actually new to Danville. He's an Actors Equity member who has done a lot of cruise boat work and a lot of dinner theater work in Florida. And he's actually choreographing the show for us as well. He's a choreographer, stage manager, and actor, and just came to Danville recently and just has really added a lot to our production and really does a great job for us.
So bringing a real, a legitimately professional element
to community theater. He really has just jumped right in and has really worked really hard for us. So we appreciate that. And then my Gypsy is being played by Brooke Kuchewski. She is 18 years old from Danville, and she is absolutely the best young actress that I've worked with in the last 15 years. She just really does a fantastic job. She's doing remarkable work. And the audience will love her.
And it's certainly a challenging role for her.
For sure, for sure. She's done a lot of research on the role. She's read the book. Jennifer and her both have read the novels and the memoirs and really know the characters well. And they're taking the journey. They'll take the journey every night. They've been taking the journey every night in rehearsal, and it's so fun to watch, and it's so tragic to watch at times. And they're doing a wonderful job.
And there's just two performances on the 28th at 7:30, Sunday afternoon, the 29th at 2 o'clock. You do have a website, which is danvillelightopera.com. All the information is available there. The show will be at the Dick Van Dyke Auditorium in Danville High School on Fairchild Street in Danville. David Woodrow is the director. And thanks very much for coming over here to talk about it. And best of luck with the production.
Thank you.
Since we've talked about Mama Rose and the importance that she has in the show, it really all centers around her. Here is one of the final musical moments from Gypsy. This is called Rose's Turn. In this performance, it was Tyne Daly on Broadway.
You haven't any talent, not an ounce of it. Miss Gypsy Rose Lee, I made you. I could have been better than any of you. What I got in me, what I've been holding down inside of me. Oh, if I ever let it out, there wouldn't for me.
That was Tyne Daly in the role of Mama Rose from Gypsy. Her final number, it's called Rose's Turn. And you can hear that played live at Danville Light Opera next weekend, not this coming, but next weekend. However, this weekend, Sunday evening at McKinley Presbyterian Church is the annual Young Baroque Artist Competition Winners Showcase, along with a program of chamber music that will be put on by the Baroque Artists of Champaign-Urbana. And we have with us two of those Young Baroque Artist Competition winners. We're going to hear them play for us live in just a moment. Wanted to introduce to you, though, Rick Murphy, who is actually the music teacher of one of them. One of the music teachers of one of them here. Rick is a music person over at University High School at the University of Illinois, meaning all music, I think you do. But you've were involved in at least organizing this year's competition or volunteering.
Yes, Kevin.
At it.
I've been pleased to be part of the volunteer organization for the Bach Organization Student Baroque Artist Competition winners. And the competition was first held in 2006. We began with 18 entries. 2007, we had 16, and it went down a little bit in 2009 to 11. Since then, we've been expanding our mailing list for the competition and are thrilled this year. We had 22 applicants, and because of that, the very kind donor that supports the scholarship awards or the cash awards for the winners increased the money to cover the prizes. And so this year, we're also featuring two honorable mention people in addition to the three winners on the concert on Sunday evening.
So the three winners were one of the ones who's going to play with us now.
Yes,
Chelsea
sir.
Edwards,
yes,
third
sir.
Place winner. And who were the second and first place winners?
The second place winner was Jordan Gunn, a cellist, and her accompanist Doran Walston on the piano. And then the first place winners were brothers, Joshua and Daniel Melling, both violinists.
And one of the honorable mention, the other honorable mention, who we don't have with us, is?
Celia Williams, a very fine soprano, and she attends St. Joseph Ogden High School.
And the... we have one of the honorable mentions who's going to play for us right now, who is a member, I know, Joshua Farrar from the East Central Illinois Youth Orchestra. And you've got some music by Bach, the prelude to his solo cello suite number 4 in E flat.
Thank you.
Nicely done. Joshua Farrar performing live here on Live and Local. It was the prelude from the fourth of the solo cello suites of Johann Sebastian Bach. He is one of the two honorable mention winners in the Young Baroque Artist Competition that is offered every year by the Baroque Artists of Champaign-Urbana. That winner's showcase concert is taking place this Sunday evening at 7:30 at McKinley Presbyterian Church in Champaign. And Joshua will be the first of the five performers, two honorable mention winners, and then three numbered prize winners, of whom we have the third in just a moment here on Live and Local. And I want to say also congratulations to Joshua, not only for your honorable mention in this competition, but Joshua was the winner, overall winner, of the East Central Illinois Youth Orchestra Concerto Competition on a very different piece of music.
Yes, Nicole Nidre, which is very romantic compared to the Bach, which is, of course, Baroque, and some very different techniques going on there.
Yeah, well, if we had time, we would ask you about all those different techniques.
Yes.
Different movements, especially of the Bach solo suites, have their own different challenges. And I always thought that the preludes are among the more challenging.
Yes, and probably this fourth suite prelude is probably the least well-known among all of them, simply because it has three flats. It's in E-flat major, and that's pretty hard tonality-wise for the cello compared to something like the G major suite prelude, which everybody knows.
Yeah, for some reason, sharps on string instruments are more friendly. Flats on wind instruments are more friendly. I guess it's just the way the fingers lie, and there's probably other reasons for that. Well, you did a really nice job with it.
Thank you.
Best of luck with the performance on Sunday. The third place winner is Chelsea Edwards, violinist, who is one of three people. Three of the winners are playing music by Bach on that program, and she'll be third on the concert. She's going to play for us is this also an opening movement, or is this a middle movement? This is the opening movement from the Sonata No. 1 in G minor for solo violin.
Yeah, the Adagio. Thank you.
The opening movement, Adagio, from the first of Bach's suites for, well, sonatas for solo violin. And it's always an extra challenge to be able to play a piece for a solo instrument without any sort of accompaniment, where you're playing all the chords, you're creating all the melodies, you're doing everything yourself. You did a wonderful job, Chelsea Edwards.
Thank you.
Who is a third place winner in the Young Baroque Artist Competition for the Baroque Artist of Champaign-Urbana. She will be playing on the showcase concert Sunday evening, 7:30 at McKinley Presbyterian Church, along with the other winners on that program. There are five of them altogether in the first part of the program. And I'll mention briefly that the second half of the concert will feature first harpsichordist Charlotte Maddox-Mersch in a keyboard suite by Armand Louis Couperin, and then she and viola da gambist Ben Hick will be joined by mezzo-soprano Elizabeth Buckley for a couple of scriptural cantatas by a woman of the Baroque named Elizabeth Claude Jacquet de la Guerre. And that should be a special occasion as well. 7:30 in the evening, Sunday afternoon. For more information, baroqueartists.org. Thanks to Joshua and Chelsea for coming in and joining us on Live and Local today. Thanks to you for your contributions. And we do want to encourage you to make those contributions yet in these next couple of minutes. Last we checked, we hadn't had any Mike Thomas for this hour.
Right. I've seen a lot of activity today with moving from studio to studio and seeing these young performers perform their pieces, and it's been amazing. And there's Mike Pritchard behind the scenes. There's a lot of activity that's going on here, but we'd like to see more activity going along on with the phone lines and with willpledge.org. So for the online pledges, you know, this is listener supported WILL, and actually our listeners are probably one of our more stable sources of income. We get close to, what, 40% of our revenue. Over 40% of our revenue from our listeners. So it is listener supported, and we need your call right now.
We need that listener support to make sure the program is able to continue. 217-244-0025. Or you can give online at willpledge.org. Thanks to those who have contributed during the drive so far. And may the rest of you see the light. You're listening to 90.9 WYL FM and HD Urbana with translators W266 AF Urbana and W293 AF Danville, NPR Classical Music and more for Central Illinois. We are member-supported service of the College of Media Illinois. We also have support from the Corkscrew Wine Emporium, 203 North Vine, Urbana, with wine tastings on Saturdays from 3 to 6:30 p.m. This Saturday's tasting features five tasting stations with wines from around the world, followed by live jazz.